Chapter 4 this evening. Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, and I want to look at this subject this evening. We'll take our title from the last of verse number 21. The last phrase of verse 21 says, "What mean these stones?" What mean these stones? Joshua 4, verse 21. And that's going to be our subject this evening, what mean these stones? And we're going to look at the overall picture from Joshua chapter 4 and try to make some application. Let's bow for prayer before we go any further. Lord, we ask your blessing on this time now. We acknowledge that anything done in the flesh is of no consequence. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of the Spirit of God. Pray you help me to say what needs to be said and avoid those things that need to be left. And God, we pray you'd stir our hearts and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4 is kind of the middle of the story. We looked at Joshua chapter 3 last week, moving forward by faith, and how God expected Israel to move forward and actually step into the water before he would part the water. And how when we know it's God's will, we're to move forward, and there's always unexpected things. And so now in chapter 4, it's kind of a continuation of the same story, but this is an emphasis kind of on the after part of the story. The end of chapter 3 tells us that God cut off when the priests stepped forward in faith and in obedience and actually set their feet in the water. God cut off the waters above where they were, and obviously the other water, you know, ran down, hit downstream, and they went over on dry ground. Okay? Now, in that process, they were told to make a memorial. Why? I mean, this is a big deal. The choir Sunday night, I believe it was, sang a song, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through?" I think the writer of that song definitely had this passage in mind as part of the thought behind that song. I mean, if at any time it was possible to cross Jordan, it wasn't now. We already looked at it when we looked at the spies. It's flood stage, okay? Jordan overflowed all its banks, so not only is it wider and deeper, the water is running more swiftly. Everything about it screams, this is impossible, and yet God stepped in and did a tremendous miracle. And when God did something very special, he told his children to make a memorial so that it would be remembered. Back up to verse number 1 of Joshua chapter 4. "It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Command you them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean you by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hasted and passed over. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people, and the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And then it kind of backs up again. Verse 15, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that come up out of Jordan. Well, verse 11 says that the priests came up already. So kind of going back and giving a little more detail on the story. Okay, what mean these stones or building a memorial? First of all, I want us to notice this, that memorials were commanded of God. In this case, the memorial was commanded by God. God told Joshua, pick 12 men, have each of them get a stone, take those 12 stones and build a memorial. Why? Because God knows our frame, Psalm 103 says. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. He knows that our forgetters work better than our rememberers. And God knows that we need to be reminded. You want an interesting study sometimes, look up the word remember and see how many times it's used not as in the story. Well, I remember the time that this happened, but rather when it's used as a command. Remember that the Lord your God did this. Remember God said this. Remember, remember, remember. God knows that we need reminding. And so God commanded the children of Israel to build a memorial. Now, this was not the kind of thing that we would build today. I mean, some of you, no doubt, have had the opportunity to go to some of our American memorials. You know, one of the benefits of being on in the travel circuit, with whether it's deputation or furlough, is you get to see some unique things. Okay, Jeremy and his family put up some pictures the other day. Was it from New York City? And, you know, Brother Ivan can tell you some neat things they've been able to see as they've traveled. You know, I've had the privilege to go to Washington, D.C. a time or two. And if you get the chance, I mean, as much as we have a distaste for some of the policies that come out of Washington, D.C., history-wise, there's some really cool stuff if you have the chance to go. I mean, just on the what's called the National Mall there in front of the Capitol building, you have the Washington Monument, okay? And then as you come out from that a little further, you have a great big, you know, pool and all these marble stations around it. It's a World War II memorial. Stations for each state, and it tells about the soldiers from every state that died. And there's some mementos of specific battles from World War II. And you go a little bit further down. On one side, you got the Korean War Memorial. On the other side, you got the Vietnam Memorial and the names of all the soldiers that died in the Vietnam War. And boy, it's just a very moving thing if you've studied history at all. Why do we do that? Okay? Because the longer we go, the less of a percentage of our church or you know, the age groups represented in our church would even remember the Vietnam War. I mean, I remember it because my dad told me stories about it. My dad fought in Vietnam. Oh, he served in the military in Vietnam. Just this past Memorial Day, I was reading stories where if a man was 18 and had enlisted in the military when he was 18 at the start of World War II, it would be, you know, right around 90, 91, 92. So most of the World War II vets have passed away now, and so we don't have the folks to tell us the stories firsthand. I mean, that's an example of how we build a memorial, but when the memorials I'm talking about, they're very ornate. They're very specific. This memorial wasn't going to be all that much of something to look at, but there was a great story behind it. They were to take 12 stones, and they were going to each man take a stone. All right, so maybe if the stones stacked up well, it would be like an altar. Okay, so if you got four stones, 1, 2, 3, 4 in a square, you'd have three layers deep. Okay, hopefully that's not too much math. This late in the evening, you can follow that, okay? Maybe they kind of built it up more like a triangle or a pyramid. But at best, you had a pile of rocks, okay? Just like altars, you know, they just took the rocks and made it out of that, a pile of rocks. But they arranged it in such a way that it was obvious that pile of rocks was put there on purpose, okay? But God commanded them to build a memorial because we need to be reminded. There was chosen men that Joshua had tapped ahead of time to perform this task. In this particular memorial, because this was a group event, if you will, it was a national event for Israel, You had every tribe that participated. Every family was a part of that memorial, one man out of each tribe, and they were to pass it. But you notice here, if you read this carefully, you notice there's actually two memorials. Okay? This was such a significant event that they built two memorials to commemorate what God had done here. One of them, these stones, they were to carry them, and then they were to build the memorial in the place where they camped that night, which turned out to be Gilgal. Okay? The second memorial is the one that Joshua built, verse 9. Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. Okay? Now, there's two schools of thought, at least. You know, there's a couple possibilities. When the priests that are carrying the Ark stepped forward, they stepped into the water, and as soon as all four of them were in the water, God stopped the water. Okay? So that it's possible that that memorial was built right there in the water, but it would have been on the edge. Okay? The other possibility is if the priests walked down to the middle and stood there the entire time everybody's passing across, then this memorial got built in the middle of the river. Okay? What good is that going to do? Well, it's flood stage, but quite possibly when it goes back down to normal stage, you can see it. I mean, you all know around here, the rivers that we do have, what do you have a lot of in rivers? Rocks. Okay? When you get good-sized rocks, what happens? It makes ripples. The water goes around it and stuff. And I think even if it was buried, the rocks would have been enough to make a little ripple right there. Hey, I wonder what's making that. I can tell you what's making that ripple in the water. But he built a memorial. So you could go, the people from Missouri, the Show Me State, could go out and see it for themselves. There's a memorial. We built it right in the middle of the river. Okay? But there was two memorials, one in the middle of the river and one in Gilgal where they lodged that night. It was that significant. Okay? How many times did God stop the water of the Jordan River for Israel to go across corporately as a nation? Once. Okay? How many times did God part the Red Sea? Once. Okay? Now, God's able to do whatever needs to be done for our situation, but this is a specific and a special event. And they were to commemorate that. And you notice it was for their benefit. It was for the benefit of the people that had crossed over to help them remember. Okay? I mean, how many of you were old enough to remember when the World Trade Center was attacked on 9/11 in 2001? Okay? Most of you. Okay? Is that memory as vivid today as it was, man, almost 13 years ago? Not really. You know, that's hard to believe. I mean, this September will be 13 years. So, but if you see a documentary, you see some pictures, you begin to rehearse those things, it will sometimes stir up the memories of, you know, where you were and how you felt and all the questions and all the turmoil that our country was in for a while. And it was for the benefit of the people that had crossed over. But you know, a second purpose of this was it was for the benefit of the children who weren't old enough to really understand what was going on. In verse 6, he says that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come. Verse 21, he spake unto the children of Israel, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying. You know what this tells us? Children haven't changed in the last 3,000 years. Because they were expecting kids to have questions. Your kids have questions? Sure they do. Okay? Lots of questions. All the time. That's how you learn. That's how you learn things. You ask questions. You examine things. And that God has wired that into us, but particularly into children. And even though there are times when the same question, the 50th time, is just, you know, slightly annoying, The reality is, as parents, it's our job to use those opportunities to train our children, to teach our children. Because they're open. They ask you a question, they're open to what you're going to tell them. And it's a teachable moment. And so the expectation was that kids would be curious and kids would ask questions. Daddy, what's that? Okay? And that would provide an opportunity to tell them. Okay? The purpose was for the following generation. Dad, what do these stones mean? Verse 6, what mean you by these stones? Verse 20, what mean these stones? The emphasis is the same. The question is going to come up, why are these stones here? What's the purpose? The memorials are commanded by God. These memorials were for a purpose, but memorials remind us of at least three or four things when it comes to God. This memorial would remind them of God's person. It was Jehovah, the God of Israel, who had parted the Jordan River, not the gods of the Canaanites. Remind them of God's power. What other god had dried up the river and stacked up water in a heap? Any of you try making a heap of water this week? You know, it's not going to work, but God has the power to do that. It reminded them of God's person, of God's power. It reminded them of God's plan. God said, I'm going to bring you to a land that I've got laid out for you. I'm going to bring you into that land, and I'm going to give you that land. And this is just another reminder of God's plan. And not only that, this memorial would remind them of God's promises, specifically that God keeps His promises. God brought them into the land just like He said He would. So memorials remind us of God's person, His power, His plan, His promise. That there were memorials that were set up throughout Bible history. When Jacob was running away from his brother Esau, and the Bible says he took and put a rock for his pillow, and that night he had a dream and he saw a ladder going up to heaven and angels going up and down. You know what he did the next day? He set up a pillar. All right, that's not a southern pronunciation for pillow. Okay, that's a pile of rocks. Okay, he set up a pillar as a memorial to, hey, this is the place where God met with me. It had been called Luz. He called it Bethel or Beth-El, house of God. El, the short form of Elohim. And he created a memorial. We could go on and look at the times when there was a specific event and God's children created memorials. This was not uncommon to other people groups either. Okay? You ever heard of the obelisks? You know what those are? Those are memorials. And each culture had their way of building monuments or memorials. They would be to great battles won or to the rule of a great emperor, those kind of things. But every country, every people group had these kinds of things. But they were to build memorials. What mean these stones? Well, for Israel, it meant, hey, this is what God did for us. Son, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you why our God is the one true God. Let me tell you why our God is more powerful than any other false god. Let me tell you why our God, who Joshua called in chapter 3, the living God, let me tell you why our God is the living God, and He's the only true God in the earth. Let me just tell you, son, there was a day when we were very small in number and disorganized, and God dried up the waters of the river, and our people crossed over. And nobody's ever seen anything like it before or since, because that's our God. That was the purpose of the memorial. Now, let's make application. What mean these stones? I believe that we should have some memorials or some monuments in our own mind and heart, but I think we need to do some things that will allow us to share with our children as well. I mean, you say, well, what are you talking about? I don't have anything special. Really? I bet I could come up with a few things. I mean, the first memorial that you ought to have is the day you got saved. I mean, maybe you remember what it is. I was a teenager when I got saved. I grew up in church. I had been to people's door and shared the plan of salvation with them. I knew how to do all that stuff. But when I got saved, I knelt by myself and nobody was with me and I prayed. Okay? I didn't have a personal worker to say, now write this date in the front of your Bible. But I can tell you, it was August the 7th, 1991. It was a Wednesday night in the middle of a week of teen camp when I got saved. You know, and the time that you got saved, whether you can give me time, date, and place, you say, I know I got saved when I was this age and this is the circumstances, that's a place to build a memorial. You know, we have a memorial coming up in our family pretty soon. After my salvation, probably the next best thing that happened to me, God gave me a good wife. So we have an anniversary coming up. It's a time to remember in the busyness of life, just to remember God's goodness in that. Yep. For I know this doesn't sound like a whole lot to some of you, but it'll be 16 years, okay, this summer. So I married Tricia when she was 14. So, an anniversary is a time. That's a place to build a memorial. Say, hey, this is when God gave me a precious gift. Maybe there's an opportunity to build a memorial where God dealt in your life and gave you direction. I can't tell you the date, but I can tell you exactly where I was and what the circumstances were when God dealt in my heart about His call on my life to serve Him, His call on my life to preach. You know, for some, there's times when God provides in a special way. Before I got to Bible college, I had never gotten on my knees and prayed and asked God to provide X amount of money for anything. It was, hey, Dad. my basic needs were met. Everything else was extra. And if I didn't have the money for it, I just did without it and I survived just fine. But I remember the first time I got on my knees and prayed and God gave me an amount of money that there's no way I could have ever procured that by myself. Boy, that's a place to build a memorial. And to remember, hey, God answered prayer. Maybe it wasn't providing money. Maybe it was an answered prayer in a different form. But God answers prayer. When we were getting ready to move up here to Shelby several years ago, we prayed and asked the Lord if He would sell our house and do it in a way that we could always point back and tell our kids, hey, look what the Lord did. I put a sign in my... I never listed my house with a realtor. I put a sign in my yard in July. No. I put a sign in my yard in September. 1st of September. We closed on the house the day before Thanksgiving. I never listed it with a realtor. And, all of that went through. Sold my house in, 45, 50 days. And, we can look... And that... It wasn't quite as tough as it is now. The houses were selling a little bit better. But nonetheless, we can look at that and say, hey, when the Lord wants you to go somewhere, He's able to get you moved. Because there wasn't a whole lot of extra money to pay rent or house payment in two places for a while, But we can look at that and say, hey, so when the Lord does something significant in your family, there are other monumental events. I mean, you can look at times when God, spared health, when God provided for certain things, when God put children in your home, when God saves your children. And we could go on and on and on and on and on. But what I'm saying is, when God does something special in your life, we need to build a memorial, to write it down or make some way of causing us to remember those things. Because our forgetter works really well. But when you stop and reflect on the blessings of God, it causes you to have a little bit of perspective. Because, let's just face it, life's tough. I was reminded recently of a quote that's attributed to John Wayne. He probably didn't come up with it, but he probably made it famous. So life is tough. It's tougher if you're stupid. And the truth is that life is difficult. And it's easy to get bogged down in the difficulties of life. But when you stop and reflect on, hey, look, the Lord did this. And the Lord did this. And, we can think back to the times when Tricia and I were first married. And we go, how did we survive on with the needs that we had and the income that we had. And, we ate a lot of spaghetti and a lot of sauce without hamburger meat in it and a lot of macaroni and cheese. And I'm sure, many of you... Now, eating macaroni and cheese is not the worst punishment ever, Could have been... I won't name other things because maybe you like those things. But, the point is you look at it and go, man, how did we survive? How did we pay the bills? I don't know. But But I can look at it and say, to the praise of God, God's always met our needs. There's been a few times where maybe we didn't plan well or didn't manage things well, but God's always met our needs. We've always had food. We've always had a place to stay. And that's what Jesus said, right? Therefore, let us having food and raiment, let us therewith be content, right? And God's taken care of our family. We haven't always had everything we want, but we've certainly had everything we need. We can look at how God has allowed big things and little things and say, look, God's alive, God's working, God answers prayer, God's doing some special things. And so when we read the news and things seem discouraging, you look back and say, hey, wait a minute, look what God did. And if God did it then, God can do it now. What mean these stones? The stones mean that God did something special for us. And son, I want you to know about it too. I want you to tell your children, if God gives you children one day, hey, I want you to bring them back to this spot and say, hey, you see these stones? These stones used to be in the middle of the river. But God stopped that river. The ground was dry. And there were some men that picked up these stones and brought them here, and they built a monument to as a testimony to the fact that our God's alive. Our God's the one true God. Our God can do anything. And when we are obedient to Him, when we follow Him, He can take care of us and take care of any situation that we face. What mean these stones? God's alive. God's at work. God loves His children. God takes care of His children. God will keep His promises. Our God's powerful. That's what the stones mean. And when we get discouraged or disheartened or just, you know, distracted, those are times to go back and look at the memorial and say, hey, you know what? It's not all bad. Look what God's done. And those are times to encourage ourselves, because while God didn't part the Jordan River once a year, every year they could look back on it and draw encouragement for that. That's one of the purposes of a memorial. God doesn't always do the big event, the big thing that you would, you know, stand up and give a testimony in church about. But you know what? God expects us to look on those monuments, those memorials, those moments in our lives, and in faith, and say, God, You did it here. So I know You can, and I know You will, and I'm asking You to do it again. This is outside of my power. It's outside of my reach. It's outside of my control. But God, I know You're alive. I know You're able. And Lord, as far as I know, this is what You want. We're doing what You want us to do. So Lord, we're asking You, just like You worked in this situation, we're asking You to part this river that's in front of us now. And whether you're facing that right now or not, we do face those things from time to time. And God wants us to draw on what He's done in the past to strengthen our faith, so that what we face in the present and in the future, we look at it and say, God, I know You're able to take care of this one too. Let me make just one more application here before we close. Verse number 14, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. That was not, the primary purpose of this monument was not to glorify Joshua, it was to glorify God. But when Joshua stepped out in faith as a leader, and the people followed in faith, God kept His promise to Joshua. God had promised Joshua a long time ago, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I'll magnify you. And I was just thinking as I was reading this passage and preparing for tonight, you know, that's something that we can pray for Pastor Davidson. You know, Brentson brought several things in Sunday school on how to be a blessing to your new pastor. But, you know, we ought to pray that the Lord confirms those things in His heart and will allow us to see good things that confirm His ministry and His work here. And you know, this was partly for Joshua. It was partly for the people, but it was partly for Joshua. Every one of you know that when you're in a place of responsibility, when people are looking at you, the eyeballs are on you, and you have to make the decision, and good or bad, however it turns out, that responsibility is going to be on you. It's going to be hung around your neck if it blows up. That's a time of introspection. That's a time of fear sometimes, a time of trembling. And boy, what God did for Joshua's heart right here encouraged Joshua that God keeps His promise. And God, as long as I follow God, God will keep His word, and He will help me in everything that I face. You know, we ought to pray that the Lord will encourage Pastor Davidson's heart like that too. He's very excited. We are excited. We're looking forward to Him coming. But, you know, that's something else that we can pray for our pastors, that God continues to confirm in His life and in His ministry how He will lead our church in the next step. What mean these stones? It's a memorial to the work of God. It's commanded by God. It's completed by God's servants. It reminds us of God's person, His power, His plan, and His promises. And we, as adults, have a responsibility to build memorials for ourselves and for our children to give testimony to the work of God in years to come. Lord, we thank You for Your power and Your person, Your plan, Your promises that are represented by the memorials. And Lord, I pray that You'd encourage hearts. I pray that You'd help us to draw strength, that You'd encourage our faith through this. And Lord, I pray that You would help us in the days to come to move forward in faith and to see You work in our day, just like You worked in Joshua's day. In Jesus' name.